Sales director tells me to ignore details, ends up losing the company $8 million. I work with the federal contractor responsible to buy and bundle hardware, software, etc. Any government organization needs, and I review the contracts in terms of financial liability and legal clauses. In other words, I ensure we make money and we are legally covered. These contracts range from $5,000 to $40 million. Last year, our company went through a reorganization, i.e. firing people and giving more work to the people still left with the company while paying us peanuts. We are a small company with less than 200 employees, and we are trying to retain our government customers while big companies like Amazon Cloud will eventually replace us in less than 10 years. The government customers love working with us because this is the only thing we do, and we treat customers better than big contractors who don't care. My company laid off 30 people from my 50-person team, so now 20 people do the work of 50 people at the same salary. We are paid by the month, not work hours, and we don't get sales bonuses. This is important to the story. I have a habit of reviewing everything carefully and spending hours on each contract, even the ones that just make us a few thousand dollars. The government vendor selection process is slow, and they are very risk-averse, so a lot of customers start at a few thousand dollars and end up in the 8 or 9 figure contract range if everything goes well. Since people were laid off, I was struggling with the work volume, and as a result, contracts were piling up. The sales director, who was on a different team, did not like me as I was slow, and I would also catch any tricks the sales team tried to play by overpromising customers or doing something shady. Government clients slash customers loved working with me. They enjoyed the support I provided, and I was truthful regarding our capabilities and our drawbacks. This was something else the director hated me for, since he thought I was tanking sales. However, almost all my clients were repeat customers for over a decade. Here's an example. Sales wanted a school district to buy outdated Dell laptops while the entire state was moving towards new, cheaper Chromebooks. Schools don't have much budget, and whatever they buy stays with the school for 5+ years. Sales was offloading expensive and useless stuff to get better bonuses and also charging customers nearly $1 million to provide IT support for faults arising from ancient hardware. During my conversation with the school district, I shared examples of state governments in the Northeast buying Chromebooks and saving money while future-proofing the hardware. My job was to give the best quote to customers and develop trust to sign a 5 or 10 year contract. So, the school district bought Chromebooks, which were 40% cheaper and had less than 20% of the previous quoted IT support cost. As a result, sales team lost a few thousand dollars in bonuses, but we got this customer with us for a 5-year contract. The sales director got mad as I was working on small contracts at a slow pace and reprimanded me in front of our manager. The manager did not care and did not defend me and asked, "Why don't you follow what the sales director says and stop fussing over small contracts?" I said small contracts turn into big ones, hence I should pay attention to them as well. Mistakes in small contracts could harm us if the contract becomes a big one. "I am struggling at work because you gave me the job of 3 or 4 people." At this point, he was shouting at me that I don't understand contracts and that he has been doing this stuff for 5 years and he makes more money in a month than I do in a year, so I should listen to him and not question him. This was a bit insulting as I live in a shared apartment and I'm struggling to make ends meet, while he drives an expensive luxury car and goes out to fancy lunches with government employees. I asked the sales director to send me an email with a list of suggestions to improve my work. He rudely complied and said, "Can you not even remember what I just said in the meeting?" His email said, "Do not review contracts less than 100K and trust the sales team has done their due diligence." I replied by copying my manager in the email and said that this could create liability in the future and I want him to confirm again that the sales team will do financial and legal compliance themselves for small contracts and that I need to stop revising small contracts below 100K with no exceptions unless told otherwise. This was gold. Cue malicious compliance. Instead of 2 hours, I spent 10 minutes on small contracts, and bam, my backlog cleared and I was home by 6:30 p.m. Now, a contract worth 10K comes through and I find some issues with this contract, since it said that we offered a 30% rebate to our software providers. This was something we stopped doing 5 years ago, and now we just offer software providers 5 to 10% rebates on contracts. Also, I knew this government client recently got a massive budget and was on a spending spree. This was part of my job to know. There was a high chance that this 10K customer could become a $100 million client, and the 30% rebate means that we would have to give them $30 million on top of the usual cost. But I remembered what the sales director said. Why don't you just follow what the sales director says and stop fussing over small contracts? So, 10 minutes later, I email, "No issues detected on compliance check by the sales team." As I mentioned before, government contracts are slow. No one cared or raised the issue about the 30% rebate since it was just a $10,000 customer. 10 months later, this government customer said that they want to work with us and get at least the same terms or better for a new $50 million contract. This was the largest contract in our company's history. The sales director happily gave him a handshake deal that we will offer the same or better terms. Government clients can legally just buy more on their current contract, so the sales director had no issue promising the same terms. Given the contract size, everyone from legal, IT, and finance gets involved to work on just one contract. For 3 months, everyone worked on this contract. The sales team was giddy that they would be getting $1 million bonuses. I don't get a sales bonus to ensure I protect customers and the company. The finance team finishes their review and says that the company is going to lose $8 million and not make any money. Everyone is shocked. The sales director gave a deal without checking with us, and we cannot go back on something we offer. Changing contract terms is frowned upon by the government, and they have legal contracts stating nothing will change. We are legally obligated to offer the government the same terms for 3 years. The legal team says that we need to take the hit on our balance sheets and swallow the losses. The CEO called a big meeting in a fancy conference room with big TVs, and everyone had to find a scapegoat to take the blame. Every department lead, managers, and people involved in this contract were summoned. The sales leader had to explain to his team why they wouldn't be getting bonuses on this big contract they spent 3 months on. Finally, legal and finance meet and share their findings that we lost money due to the 30% rebate clause. The sales director goes crazy and blamed me in front of everyone and asked me to pack my stuff in front of 30 people. He follows by saying that I am terrible at my job despite my 100% customer satisfaction. I calmly open my laptop and connect the display cable and open Outlook while displaying his email on 3 big TV screens stating that I should stop reviewing small contracts. While all 30 people read the email, I await the sales director's reaction with a faint smile. He goes into rage mode, claiming I misunderstood his email and I am terrible at my job. Then I scroll down, where he ignores my warning regarding potential liability to the company, and his response explicitly asked me to ignore that. His face turns white when he realizes he screwed up. He then blabbers, trying to find some other scapegoat, making racist tirades against our IT consultants in Vietnam, and just lost it. Now here comes the aftermath. I was told to spend 2 to 3 hours on each contract, and the company eventually figured out that it's cheaper for them to hire 20 more people like me and pay us $70,000 a year than take big losses on their contracts. Our team has 40 members now, still not 50, but it's enough to offset the contract volume. Because of the losses, the sales director had to pay back his previous year's bonus as he had a clawback clause with the company, i.e., if you screw up, you need to pay us. The sales director had to pay nearly $300,000 and was fired from his job. He then sued the company for wrongful termination, and we just heard today that he lost the case and now owes us another $200,000 in legal fees. Now he owes $500,000 to our company. This story actually has 2 lengthy updates. Update 1. A lot of people may ask why I'm still doing this job that pays less than state wages, and I might be able to make more in other companies. I help government customers buy good stuff from many hardware and software companies so they don't overpay or rely on one big company. I feel proud when I save tax dollars and help customers. During COVID, a lot of governments went remote, i.e. local meetings on Zoom and keeping the government running while working from home. There was a budget freeze due to COVID, the economy shutting down, and the COVID relief bill was still months away. This was the time when the sales team had helpless government customers willing to sign anything just to get remote hardware and software. I saw this as extortion, and despite being an introvert who lacks initiative to get promoted, I was able to convince the CEO to offer free 60-day trials of expensive hardware and just charge for setup and transportation fees. This was a big risk, but we brought an insurance company in to offset any damages. I convinced the CEO that this is the time for us to show that we are partners with the government, and it was an emergency. The sales team was mad for months, then they realized that all those free customers were calling us for paid contracts over companies that are 10 times our size and would usually win contracts by lobbying or taking government decision makers to expensive lunches or giving them Super Bowl tickets. I cannot legally disclose the government entities by name, but I can vaguely say that some entities in the state of New York and the state government of Florida were both using this trial program during the first wave of COVID. I might change jobs soon since we just got a 3% salary hike in the current market, while the company has nearly doubled its revenue in the last few years. Update 2. I just remembered another story that made leaders hate me even more. This was during the COVID wave when we were all working from home and I was getting used to Zoom. We had a telecom contract with the state government during COVID, and everyone joined a Zoom call to discuss the contract. The sales team was increasing this customer's telecom bills from $60,000 a month to $300,000 a month. I objected that the increased calls during COVID are not high enough to justify such a big price hike, and we should increase the bill to $100,000 a month. This was enough to cover the costs and even improve profit margins. But the sales team started laughing and saying that if the customers can pay more and is ready to pay more, why am I being so vocal? The leadership asked me to shut my mouth and proceeded with the $300,000 contract. So I started working on other stuff and minimized the Zoom app. I didn't end the Zoom calls myself as the meeting admins ended them. Someone said, "Bye, nice meeting you all," and I naively assumed that the call had ended. I vented my frustration by saying that these salespeople are like wolves when the country is going through terrible times. A coworker sent me a chat message a few minutes later saying that everyone heard what I just said. No one complained or confronted me, but this did offend them. Also, I wanted to add that not all sales team members are like this. Almost all the new sales reps are eager to learn from everyone and not pushing stuff and instead are talking to customers. However, new sales reps handle small or low priority contracts. Any big contracts get automatically transferred to sales leadership. This story was wild, but I loved every minute of it. For anyone who is a vocal person in their workplace, the best advice I ever got and could ever give you is create a paper trail. This is exactly what the OP did, and it saved her butt. If you ever think that something is wrong at your company and your boss tells you to ignore it, send them an email typing out everything they told you to ignore or stop worrying about and ask for confirmation. This is what you can use against them when the problems hit the fan and they try to take you down instead of themselves. Remember, coworkers aren't your friends. Most of them will throw you under the bus if it means that they will keep their jobs. My manager tells me my only job is to help customers. Years ago, I worked at an office supply store. We had idiot manager after idiot manager cycle through and come up with dumb ideas to try to make the store run better. And this was one of those dumb ideas. The idea was that between certain hours, I think it was 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., we were only allowed to directly help customers. No restocking shelves, no unloading trucks. I was in charge of changing and checking prices, but wasn't allowed during those hours. Any of those tasks can easily be done while still being accessible to customers, but apparently that wasn't good enough. The rest of the staff decided to sneakily do their work when the manager wasn't looking. Otherwise, they couldn't get everything done. Luckily, I was able to finish my job outside of these hours, so I decided to follow this ridiculous rule. At first, I stood up front and turned myself into a Walmart-style greeter, but I hated it, and I didn't really feel like this was following the rule, as customers typically don't like being asked questions the second they get in the door. Eventually, I found a spot at the back of the store where I could see the front door, and I posted myself there. I do absolutely nothing besides stand there and stare at the front door. When a customer came in, I would track them with my eyes, see what aisle they walked down to, and I would go ask if they needed help. When I finished up helping them, or more often after they tell me that they don't need anything, I walk back to my spot in the back of the store and continue staring at the front door. Sometimes I would stand there for less than a minute, but sometimes I would stand there for about 15 minutes or more. I do this for 3 hours a day, 4 days of the week that I'm there, for I don't even know how many weeks. One of my favorite memories during this time was a staring contest with my manager. I was in my spot in the back of the store, and he was near the front of the store when he spotted me standing there, not even remotely pretending to work. He stares at me across the store, and I stare right back at him, hoping he'll confront me. After all, I'm not allowed to do anything besides helping customers, and I know I've approached every single customer in the store. Unfortunately, he didn't, and I lost the staring contest after a few minutes when a customer came in and I had to go approach them. When I go back to my spot, he had already moved on. Eventually, I quit. I was given my final warning for my attitude. No customer complaints or problems with incorrect prices. I was just rude to managers. If you don't know, final warning means that the next time I do something wrong, I will be fired. And I realized my managers weren't going to get smarter, and I wasn't going to learn to bite my tongue. So it was best that I just move on. Of course, they didn't realize how good I was at my job, and my replacement was terrible, partially because they didn't have me train him before I left. Price tags all over the store were wrong for months.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is totally me. I often pride myself on how good I was at my jobs. I was the type of employee that followed the rules, but I also did my job in the smartest and most times fastest way possible. When you work in this type of way, management usually sees all the downtime you have now instead of seeing how well and effective you are at your position. This ultimately causes problems because they expect you to do more than your other coworkers because you're so good at your job, but they don't give you a pay increase for it. I think this OP was very tame when it came to getting back at management. If this video gets 5,000 likes, I'll tell you about the time I quit my job of 8 years by making a well-viewed TikTok video and by leaving hidden messages for people to find after I quit. That's it for today's video. If you want to make sure you don't miss out on any content, hit that subscribe button and make sure you hit that bell to turn on notifications. If you want to finish listening to all the stories, use the playlist at the top of the description. And if you're someone who live streams and needs copyright-free music, check out the Cream of the Crop music by searching Cream of the Stream on Spotify or whatever music platform you choose. Remember, it's free.